Well, thank you again, Nigel and Emma. We do appreciate that. Thank you, Church, for your support, your prayers and your kindness and your love. Last week, I did say that this week we would look at the armour of God. And today, I want to use today's message as an introduction to maybe a series on spiritual warfare or putting on the full armour of God. Let me remind you of what it says in Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. In verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark age or this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, it says in 13, put on the full armour of God so that when, not if, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm. I just want to read one or two things out from some notes that I've taken before I get into my scripture. And I just want to, like I say, make a statement, if you like. And we're talking about the spiritual forces. We're talking about standing and standing firm. And I just, as I was preparing today's message, and yet again on my prayer walk, I try to go once and if I can twice a day and just ponder upon what I believe the Lord is saying to me through his word. And part of what I want to do is strengthen us, encourage us, enable us to understand the day that we're in and understand who we are in Christ Jesus and understand what we have and what God has promised us. This is what I was thinking. Many years ago, I spoke to a man. My children did gymnastics. And Susan and I, we used to camp out at Lynnsport. We was always there as Joshua, Joel and Karis did gymnastics. And there was a man there who was he's a Chinese man. And he was an Olympic world champion, a gold medalist. And we got to know this family very, very well. And we was having a barbecue around his one day. And I asked him about his training. And I asked him, how did he achieve his success? And what he told me was simple but insightful. He would say this. Well, from the age of four, he was talent spotted and he was placed into a gymnastics school where alongside his academic schooling, he did his gymnastics. And this is what he said to us. For 1 year, the only thing he did was a forward roll. For one whole year, all he did after that was a cartwheel, and so on and so on, for 1 year. And I asked him why he had to do that for a whole year. And he said, so that when I did a forward roll, it was instinctive. I knew what to do it, how to land, and it was perfect without me even thinking. Cartwheels, he'd say the same. We had to perfect a cartwheel in such a way that we could do it without even thinking. It became natural. He would react without effort. I've written this down for us. There are many Christians today who miss out on the basics and they want to move straight to the miraculous. So when the enemy comes, they cannot stand. Why? I'm glad you asked. They do not soak themselves in the basics. I have said myself for many years from the pulpit, I have not kept it secret from you as a church and anyone who's been part of Grace over the years that I've had the privilege of being a pastor. I have said time and time again that the Bible says you will suffer in this world, but be of good cheer because I, Jesus says, have overcome the world. So it's not if the day of evil comes, it's when the day of evil comes. And the reason I've said that over the years is so that we will not be taken by surprise. That we will be fully aware of what the Bible says, but also fully aware of what God says about us and how we fight against the schemes of the evil one. Remember, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but but powers and principalities that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And we need to be reminded of that, because there are times where good people say some bad things, aren't there? There are times where people and the enemy use people to do his dirty work. There are demonic forces around that will inhabit flesh and blood, but our fight is not against the flesh and the blood, it's against the power and the principality. I told this story before, and I'll tell it again for those that haven't heard it. Some years ago, I worked for a major American company. I did some contract work, and one day I walked into the complex and I signed in and I got my permit to work, and I was accosted by a lady who was the secretary of one of the managers, and she wasn't very kind to me, and she accused me of threatening a member of staff. And this member of staff had told her that I physically threatened to punch her because of a small altercation that went on the day before. So I didn't go home and think about it. I didn't have to analyze, did I or didn't I? I knew that she was lying. And so immediately I called her out and I gave her an ultimatum. And I said to this secretary, you have 10 minutes to get this person in front of me and you. And if she does not tell the truth, I'm taking it all the way to the top, the management. And if I have to go to American management, I will do so, because my reputation is at stake here. My honor is at stake. She lied and I'm not having it. And within 10 minutes, she held her head down. And she acknowledged that she had lied. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is that my fight wasn't against her. It was against the lie that came out of her mouth. But because I know the basics, I didn't have to think about it. I could do that forward roll, that cartwheel, without even thinking about it. Because the Bible says this, know the truth and the truth will set you free. So that's why at times I go back over the basics, over things that we have heard before and seen before. Why? So that we can be fully equipped, so that when the day of evil comes, we don't have to think about it. We know it and we've absorbed it and we have it in our heart. So yes, we can deal with the mundane, but we can also deal with the miraculous. If we make bad choices, we will suffer because of those choices. Not everything that goes wrong in our life is the enemy. There are times that we do foolish things, say foolish things, mix with foolish people, and we reap that whirlwind, don't we? But there are times in our life where the enemy comes and he uses flesh and blood. The enemy comes, he uses circumstances and situations. So we need to know what the word is. And some years ago in this church, in Grace Church, there were people who stood up in an AGM and lied about me. Yeah, they lied about me. Now remember, my fight is not against flesh and blood. I didn't go home and think about it. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. Immediately, I stood up and I made this statement. I said to the church, if there's anyone at all, who wants to stand up for a vote of no confidence in me, I will immediately resign. Not one person stood up. Why? Because what was said about me was a lie. We need to be prepared. We are not asleep, are we? We're awake. We know what the truth is. So I want to encourage the church with God's word. When I look at this and it says, finally be strong in the Lord. You know, Paul is writing a letter here. Remember that he's under house arrest. He's in prison as such. And he's writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. He's writing to the Ephesians. And predominantly, he's encouraging them. He isn't writing a letter warning them about false teachers, warning them about this and warning them about that. He's saying in Ephesians 1 and verse right up to verse 5, he's saying, remember what God has done through Christ Jesus. And then he says in the end of this letter, he says, and finally, be strong in the Lord. So Ephesians 1, I'll just read one or two scriptures so that we know what the finally is about. He said all these things and then he says finally. So I want you to get it in perspective and read Ephesians for yourself to see if you can see what it is the Lord is saying to me, because I'm sure he'll say the same to you. In verse 19 of Ephesians 1, he says, and his great power for us who believe, the church who believe. That power he's talking about is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead, Paul says. He goes on in Ephesians 2 verse 1 and he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." He goes on in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, "But because of his great love for us," God's great love for us, "God who is rich in mercy made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions." Remember, he says, "It is by grace that you have been saved." In verse 8 of Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." He goes in, says in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you are, you who were once far away, who are in the distance, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ." He introduces the sacrifice of Christ by his blood, by the blood of Christ. He goes on in verse 19 of Ephesians 2, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you're fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household." These are basic things for Christians to know. And Paul is sharing them again in verse 22 of Ephesians 2. "And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his spirit." You are being built as a spiritual house, a spiritual temple. In Ephesians 3, let's look at some more scripture. Let's go to 10. Ephesians 3 verse 10. "His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms." In 12 of Ephesians 3, "In him," this is Jesus, "and through faith in him, we," meaning us, the church, "may approach God with freedom and confidence." These are basic things, aren't they? But we need, I believe, to be reminded of them so that when the day of evil comes, we can stand. In verse 20 of Ephesians 3, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." Who's that? That's Christ. "According to his power," the power that's in God, the power that Christ has, the power that the Holy Spirit indwells in me and you. "More than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Paul is telling us a basic principle here, that when you've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, there is a power that dwells within us. We need to be reminded, I believe, afresh if we're going to stand and stand firm. Ephesians 4, verse 1, it says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling." It says to be humble in verse 3. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." There is a unifying that God's presence brings to all of his people. And the enemy's out to destroy and he's out to separate, isn't he? Yes, he is. But we are those that are individually saved, but we're a corporate body as well. In verse 7 of Ephesians 4, "But to each one of us, to each one of you Christians, grace has been given as Christ appointed it." To each one has been given a measure of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. In verse 11 of Ephesians 4, "So Christ himself gave. He gave the gifts of the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers." Why? I'm glad you asked. "To equip," it says in verse 12, "equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." God gave the gifts into the church that we could understand the basics, the mundane as well as the miraculous. In verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. Paul is reminding us of who Christ is. From him, Christ that is, the whole body, that's me and you, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This may seem like basic things, but I want to reiterate to us today that if we lay hold of the basics and we do the forward rolls and we do the cartwheels spiritually, when the enemy comes, we can stand. Why? Because we know the truth, and the truth will and does set us free. In verse 24 of Ephesians 4, we're told to put on the new self. Remember, the old has gone and the new has come. We've been dead. We're dead in our transgressions. We're alive in our salvation. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to know these things. There is a righteousness and a holiness, not coming from our works or how good we are, but how good he is and how he works within us. Paul wants to remind his people in verse 29 of Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, he said, but only what is helpful. He's thinking about us and he's thinking about those around us. He said, but what only is helpful for building others up according to their needs. When you see the need of a believer or an unbeliever, we're to speak in such a way that will build them up. When we are confronted by the enemy, we're to speak in a way in which it will stop the enemy and cause God's grace to come and manifest upon them. Yes, yes, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. When we speak, God wants there to be a benefit. You know, I don't go out of my way to malign people. I don't go out of my way to talk down to people. I don't go out of my way to lie about people because it brings no benefit to them. And in honesty, it brings no benefit to me. My fight is not against flesh and blood, but I will stand up against the power and the principality that's at work in them and through them. In verse 31, Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 4, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. So when we speak of this truth, this gospel, when we point a finger, we know that there's the rest of those fingers pointing back at us and encouraging us to do the right thing, to do the right thing, to be who God has called us to be. And Paul knows this. He's in prison, but he's not whinging or whining about that imprisonment. He's using his time to say to the church, listen. Listen to what God's word says about you. In Ephesians 5 verse 1, follow God's example therefore as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love. Remember what the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave. Walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In verse 8 of Ephesians 5, for you were once darkness, Paul says, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Remember what I'm saying to you. Before he gets to the finally, he's saying, I want you to look at what God has done for you, church. In verse 15 of Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. What good counsel, isn't it? It may seem basic, but the more we know about the basics, the more we'll be able to live in accordance with God's plan and purpose. And those things that are basic, we will be able to do in our sleep. When the enemy comes, we'll be able to stand. Why? Because we know them. We know them. They're in us. They've been saturated. We've been soaked in God's truth. So I want to remind us afresh of God's truth so that when the enemy comes, not if, but when he comes, you can stand and you can stand firm. Therefore, in verse 17 of Ephesians 5, Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In verse 20 it says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 23 it says, Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. He is the Saviour of this world. He's our Saviour and he's our Lord. And then we get to Ephesians 6, where we are today. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, so I said all of that to give us an understanding of what the finally means. Finally, I've encouraged you. We know who we are. We know what God has said about us. There is a power within us. But finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. He's not saying be strong within our own ability, our own achievements. No, be strong in the Lord. That's why when the suddenlies come, we can stand. Why can we stand? Glad you asked. Because we know that the strength that's on the inside will manifest on the outside if we speak truth. Finally, be strong in the Lord. So that's our encouragement. Be strong in the Lord. He goes on though and he says more. And in his mighty power, the power that we have, because Christ lives within us. And that mighty power is the same power, the Bible says. Paul's already told us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power we're talking about. Verse 11. Put on the full armour of God. That means that there is a fullness to what God wants to do when it comes to protecting us, his people. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil's schemes. Remember, the devil is a liar. He's a schemer. He's a deceiver. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. As much as it's easier, isn't it, to point the finger at people. It's easy to point the finger at flesh and blood. But it's the demonic that's operating in them and through them that we have our struggles against. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. Now, we know there's evil in the heavenlies and in the earthly realm, don't we? Evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm. As I said, this is an introduction into that series on the armour of God. And to stand firm, just picture it. If you stand still, stand tall and put both feet together and then just imagine someone pushing you, you would fall quite easily, wouldn't you? Try it. Yes, you would. Either forwards or backwards. But if you move 1 foot forward, 1 foot back, and you move both of those feet and you spread those feet out so they're maybe a couple of feet apart and you stand just like a boxer would stance just before he goes to fight his opponent. He stands in such a way that he can move his whole body. He stands in such a way that if he is hit, he will be able to withstand the pressure from his opponent. So when we stand and stand firm, that's what the Bible's talking about. Stand in such a way that you cannot be pushed around. Paul put it like this. He said that you won't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. If you're standing firm, when the wind comes, you will be able to sustain that wind. So we're called to stand firm, aren't we? In Acts 26, verse 18, I want to read this to you. Jesus is saying this. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light, he says, from the power of Satan to God. Turn them from the power of Satan to God. That's the gospel. There is a power within us to pray and proclaim Christ and him crucified over the ungodly. So that we can turn people by what we do, what we say, what we understand. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me, Jesus said. So, yes, we're in a fight. Yes, we're in a battle. But we're not there just to survive. We're there to bring others with us, aren't we? Yes, we are. By the way we live, by our actions, by our reactions, by our words, by our prayers. We're to fight. And we have an enemy that's trying to defeat us. But we have a Saviour that's already won the battle. Amen? Amen. That's good news. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Goes on to explain this. The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. Remember what the Bible says about the law? Jesus says this. Bible says this. Scripture says this. God says this to me and you and to all those that are willing to listen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Without the forgiveness of sins, the Bible says, there is no remission. There is no remission without the forgiveness of sins. How do we get our sins forgiven? By a Saviour. There's a penalty. The penalty of sin is death. That's a separation spiritually from God. So all have fallen short. All have sinned. So all deserve to die because of that penalty of sin. But praise be to God. This is where the gospel comes in. This is where the enemy, the devil, will try and get hold of God's people and try and make them fearful of death, fearful of the law. But Jesus came and he conquered death, therefore conquered the law. When he rose, we were risen with him. Goes on to say this, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law, and we have the victory through Jesus Christ, then we've overcome sickness. We've overcome the law through Christ Jesus. Yes, but the enemy comes to try and rob and steal that from us. That's basic. That's basic for us Christians. That's why I'm reminding us afresh of the basics of Christianity, that you are a child of God if you've accepted Christ as Saviour and Lord. To be your Saviour, that means you're a sinner. You're a sinner that's been saved by grace. Grace is undeserved favour, and that undeserved favour comes through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's overcome death so that we can have life. So the enemy will come and he'll try and whisper in your ear, who do you think you are? You are going to die because of your sins. The answer is, I'm a child of God, and what sin? I've been forgiven. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Paul says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. The enemy may come to try and rob and steal, but when we know the basics, these are things that in times of good and times of bad and times of ugly, we will be able to say who we are and who Christ is in our lives. And we will be able to speak because of that power that's within us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. In Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is out. He's scheming, isn't he? He's trying to trip and trying to persuade God's people to do things that God's not called us to do. That's why God's given us an armour. That's why we are to be vigilant. In Matthew 10 verse 22, you will be hated, Jesus says, by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That means that there is a battle, there is a fight, there is a struggle, but we win. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Jesus already warns us that there will be trouble, there will be strife. You know, when we listen to church ministers, leaders, evangelists that just say, everything is good, just accept Jesus and your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven, you'll have more money, you'll have more health, you'll have more strength, everything in life will be good. That's a lie. How do I know that? Because I know the truth. The truth is, trouble will come. Trouble will come, but God's given us the strength to stand in that time of trouble. that we have overcome because he is an overcomer. He calls me and you more than conquerors. Another message in itself. I do have a few more scriptures I'd like to get through, if I may. And yet again, because of an introduction, maybe I'll go over a few minutes. Please bear with me. In Mark 3:24, I'll speak as fast as I can. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. God doesn't want us to be an island on our own. Yes, when the enemy comes and he tries to single us out, we can stand because of the power within us. But there's much more we can do if we stay together, unified. Let's call upon God. Let's call upon his people. Let's call upon his body. I pray with you, you pray with me. I stand with you, you stand with me. When we link together, we become a mighty force, don't we? God's given us a spiritual armor to stand individually and to stand corporately. The psalmist says it like this in Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, Aaron's beard, down his collar, down his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There's an anointing that comes when God's people dwell together in unity. One gospel. Because there's one God and one Lord. In Nehemiah, I love this picture here in Nehemiah 4:17. It's a story about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls to keep out the enemy. It says this in verse 17 of Nehemiah 4. Talks about those that were responsible for building the wall. There's an enemy trying to penetrate at the same time. Remember, they're laying bricks and they're fighting the enemy. It says this in verse 17. The people who were building the wall, those who carried materials to do the practical work, did their work with one hand and they held their weapon in the other. And when we get on to the armor of God, we understand that the weapon is the sword of the Spirit. So they were doing the work, the practical work with one hand. And they had the sword in the other hand. So us as Christians, we need to be always on our guard. Know the truth. The truth sets us free. So when the schemes of the devil comes to try and trip us up, we can stand and we can stand firm. Because we're working with one hand, carrying materials, doing practical things. But we always have an eye on the spiritual. Amen? Amen. This is good stuff. I love God's word. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13. For such people who are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as an apostle of Christ. What's being said here is that there are those that will say they're one thing and they do another. We need to be those that discern. And no wonder, he says, for Satan himself masks around as an angel of light. It is not surprising then, if his servants also masked around as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. The devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. He masked around as an angel of light, but he is an angel of death. So that's why we need to know the basics, put on his armor so that we can stand firm. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In verse 9, he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. And you'll see where faith comes in as we put it on starting next week. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world were undergoing the same sufferings, but God's grace gives us the ability to endure. In James 4, and I only have one more scripture after this, I just want to read this to us. James 4 verse 7 says this, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil? By submitting ourselves to God and to God's word. His truth. Know the truth? Truth sets us free. That's how we stand and that's how we stand firm. But God has given us an armour to put on as well. in order that when these things come, not if, but when they come, we can stand, and we can stand firm. And that's you too. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God wants us to be single-minded. He wants us to be focused, doesn't he? Not half-hearted, but wholehearted. That's why whenever we read scripture, there's a balance of the encouragement. There's a balance of being held accountable. There's a balance of saying, listen, don't do this, do this. And God wants to encourage me and you afresh today. My final scripture is to end up where we started. It's Ephesians 6, but I'm going to read from verse 13. Put on the full armor of God then, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Church, stand firm. Let's be a body that will understand the basics. Let's do the cartwheels of life. Let's do the forward rolls so they become so familiar to us that when the enemy comes, we'll be able to answer straight away. We'll be able to stand. When we're falsely accused, we can stand. When we're maligned, we can stand. When someone tells us a falsehood, we can tell the truth. When someone comes masquerading as an angel of light, we have the wisdom to see the truth, to see the darkness within them and come against those spiritual forces. God has blessed me and you so that we can stand individually and we can stand corporately. So as I bring this message to a close and look forward to speaking with us next week as we put on God's armor afresh, this week, let's familiarize ourselves with the basic of the gospel. Know who you are. You're justified, sanctified, set apart. You are going from glory to glory, a royal priesthood. You're a child of God. Amen. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And that's the power God calls us to fight with. That's the power in which he causes us to stand. Amen. Amen.